are great.
Yes.
Is our God.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I think most of the time, well, I can only speak for myself. As much as he has done for me, I'm still not sure of his greatness. I can't perceive how great he is. Because the more I sing the song about how great he is, or speak the words, each time the greater he seems to be.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm honored to stand before you again, and this time as a member of the Beacon Light family.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
But I want to thank God and my pastor, Pastor Burke, for this opportunity. The only thing I can do, church, is give you what God gave me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Let us bow our heads in prayer.
Yes.
Eternal God, my heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify your holy and most righteous name for all you have done, Lord.
Yes, God.
And God, as I stand here, you see me as this empty vessel that needs to be filled. Fill me to overflowing with your word, that your people may hear it and gather it in with wisdom and understanding and determination to move forward, to become a better follower of Christ.
Yes.
Father, we thank you again, and we praise your holy and most righteous name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I want to talk to you from the topic, are you preparing to go with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You see, salvation is one thing. It's great when we are saved. But yet, when we are saved, there is much more that we must do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because there's a period of sanctification that follows.
Yes.
Now, God, when we're saved, gives us a measure of faith.
Yes.
But then, the Holy Spirit comes in at that time. And you know, I remember when folk at a certain church down home used to tarry for the Holy Ghost. And some folks say that they get a certain feeling. But you know, the point is, you may not feel anything when he comes in. But you know that he is there because Jesus Christ said he would be there.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we look at, boy, y'all were all around the message this morning. John chapter 15, Hebrews 11. Praise the Lord. Jesus speaks to us in John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, 3. And, you know, it amazes me how when Jesus is preparing to reveal something to us, he always prepares us for the revealing.
Yes.
And not only that, but he warns us. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Because, see, for a Christian, I don't know how it is with you, but the devil is always busy.
Yes.
He's always trying to throw something at you to distract you.
Yes.
But we know that in Christ, we can do all things.
Yes.
Because he strengthens us.
Thank you, Lord.
But it says in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled.
Yes.
Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Yes. Now what is he saying? Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't worry about anything. Mm-hmm. Don't get agitated.
Yes.
Don't just get all confused and mixed up in the spirit about what is going on in your life. Because you have a Savior that knew about it before you felt it, before it even happened.
Yes.
God knew about it. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Amen. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And Paul takes that over in the book of Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing.
Nothing.
But by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yes. Thank you, God. Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You don't have to worry about anything. If worry ever enters into your spirit and into your mind, it's because the devil is after you. And all you got to do is say, come get him, Jesus. Come get him.
Thank you, Lord. My God.
But look what he says. Now he's prepared, I see. In my Father's house.
Yes.
Or many mansions.
Yes.
Let me stop right there a minute. You know, I've heard people say, I don't care what kind of house I got down here because I got a mansion over there. Well, that word mansion does not mean a mansion like maybe Donald Trump might have. Sorry to mention him. But when you look up this word, it simply means a room or a dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So God has a room, a dwelling for all of his children.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And watch now. Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Huh? In other words, you know, scripture says, God not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. Well, Jesus is letting you know, I don't lie. Huh? Because I speak the truth to you, because if it were not the truth, I never would have told you.
Yes.
Now, I go to prepare a place for you. He's telling us there. He's already told us that in his Father's house are many rooms and many dwellings. So he's telling us that there are a lot more of us that need a dwelling. There are a lot more of us that need a room. So I'm going to prepare more places.
Yes.
And let me go and finish this third verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now see, Jesus is telling us he's going past the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and he's gone to the ascension and the return to his Father. Because he's saying to us in here that you know, you don't have to worry about where are you going to go? How are you going to get there? He said, because I'm going to come for you. I'm going to make a personal trip back down here to come for you, and I am going to take you to that place in glory. You know, I've heard, Lord knows, I've heard people say, he's on his way. No, he is not. Jesus doesn't travel by rocket ship. Come on, somebody. That's right. When it's time for him to come, boom.
Yes, right.
There he is.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. He'll be here. No man knows today, not the hour. So that's why it behooves us to be ready each and every day of our lives.
Yes.
Each morning, God wakes us up. We thank him for the rest we had last night. We thank him for opening our eyes in the morning. But listen, we need to stay in touch with him during that walk through the day.
Yes.
So, now, think about this now. If Jesus is going to prepare a place for you, don't you know that you got to be preparing to go with him?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
You know, I served as a pastor for many years, and over the years that I served as a pastor, I've seen so many folk in church every Sunday. And folk, it's like they say, well, I'm saying now, all I got to do is sit back on my hands and chill. God gave him a word. But you know, there's much more we have to do. We have to prepare to go with him.
Yes.
See, when we are saved, God gives us that measure of faith, but then the Holy Ghost comes in, and the Holy Ghost is the one who sanctifies us. Huh? We can't carry ourselves. We can't make it through on our own, church. But when you get saved, the Holy Ghost is in you.
Yes.
And he lives in you the remainder of your life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But you know, as I was speaking of those people who feel that once they are saved, and you know, hey, I got made now. That's not what Jesus says. Huh? Let's look at Matthew 7. 15 through 20. You remember I told you a few minutes ago how Jesus, when he gets ready to teach us something, he gives us a heads up. He gives us a warning.
Yes.
Okay, here's the warning. Beware of false prophets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And they, oh Lord, it's plenty of them around. Let me stop there. Beware of false prophets. You got to, let's see, there's a whole organization called the Muslims. There's an organization called the Mormons. There's an organization called the Jehovah's Witnesses. There are many cults all around, one down near Concord, North Carolina. And now the lady that organized that thing, she's bringing it into Durham. Amen? But there are even these false prophets in the established Church of God. Amen? If you ever had the opportunity to visit some of them, you may have run into them. But they are there. There are some out in the congregation. I have run into them. I read a scripture to a deacon from the Word of God, and he said, Pastor, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. My God.
Yes.
Help us, Lord.
Amen. Amen. So, Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You know, a sheep is a docile animal, amen?
Yes.
A sheep is going to walk, and he's going to eat that grass, and he's going to follow the shepherd around. Because the shepherd knows where the best grass is, amen? But listen, these people who come to you and seek clothing, amen, they come to you with that fake humility. Huh? That fake humility. They come to you, you know, well, brother so-and-so and so, you know, and talk the word of God to you. But inside, they have this intimacy inside themselves that want to just take you and rip you apart.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus said, watch out for them. Mm-hmm. That's a warning to you. Mm-hmm. And how will you know them? Jesus says you will know them by their fruits. Mm-hmm. Huh? Fruits are the life they live. Mm-hmm. Whether you see the attributes of Jesus in their lives or the attributes of old Slewfoot. Huh? And Jesus says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Have you ever seen a grapevine? Grapevine does not have thorns on it. Amen. Nor are figs from thistles. Thistles is something like a blackberry vine, a bush. Let me tell you something. We used to pick them all the time down home in Alabama. And you have to be careful getting that berry or you'll get stuck. And another thing, you have to be careful about getting that berry. You better look before you reach. Because my sister Imogene reached for one time and left a black snake getting ready to get the same berry. So you have to be careful when you're around these thorn bushes and these thistles, amen? Mm-hmm. All right, so Jesus says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Mm-hmm. Now that speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. If you are of Christ, your life, let me rephrase this. Mm-hmm. If you are truly of Christ, mm-hmm. your life will show Christ-like characters.
Yes.
Other people will be able to see Christ's characters in you.
Yes.
But if you are not of Christ, mm-hmm. it's impossible to bear those Christ-like characters.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
He says, but when he said, you will know them by their fruits. Let me show you this analogy that came to me. When, you know, an apple has its seeds within. Mm-hmm. And now that apple can't reproduce unless you take those seeds from within. Mm-hmm. Now, peaches, other fruits have a seed within. Mm-hmm. And they produce according to their seed. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. And what about us? Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
Like
we got a seed.
Yes.
Called the Holy Ghost. Lord have mercy. And listen, that seed is only going to produce in you what is in him.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
That's why when you plant a peach seed, a peach tree is going to come up. You can't get a pecan tree from a peach seed.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yes. Amen.
Verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down. and thrown into the fire. What he's saying to us, and this scripture relates to everybody that calls himself a Christian. If you say you are saved and you are now a Christian, and you are not living that life of Christ, but yet you are still doing everything, trying to have a good time out there in the world, you're not of Christ. And Jesus said, if that tree does not bear good fruit, it will be cut down.
Yes, it will.
And here's the worst part. It's going to be cast into the fire. And he's not talking about the fire in your fireplace. He's talking about that hell fire. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. Now, the scripture tells us that we are not to judge. Amen. And Jesus is not telling us to judge here. For the scripture, judge not that you be not judged. But Jesus is telling us that you got to live your life. Let me rephrase that. That we have to live our lives in him.
Yes.
That others may see his good works and glorify his Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We're not going to be before you long. Now, Galatians 5 and 20, 22 and 23. Now, here is what should be seen in our lives. Each and every day that as we go through this world. Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit should be showing in your life.
Yes.
Now, you notice that when Paul wrote these, he listed love first. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
He listed love first because without love, you can't have any of the rest of them.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
You cannot have any of the rest of them. But now somebody might ask, well, 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, why did he say faith, hope, and love? Because here's the thing. No matter where you place love, love is still the greatest.
Yes.
I'm not going to quote the two commandments that Jesus gave. But y'all all know them. But you know that if you don't live those two commandments, you can forget it. Huh? So, this is how you prepare to go with Jesus. And after this message, I want us all to assess ourselves and ask ourselves, am I preparing to go with Jesus? So that fruit of the Spirit that should be seen in our lives, first is love. And again, we know that Jesus said that we should love the Lord God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our might.
Yes.
And that the second commandment is, amen, to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Now, God has shown me so many things. I have actually heard people think that the person lived next door is the neighbor that they have to love. And I know y'all know better, but I got to tell you anyway. That neighbor that Christ is talking about might live in China, might live in Mexico, Japan, the Philippines, Hawaii. In words, that neighbor might live anywhere in this world. But that neighbor, my brothers and sisters, regardless of where he or she may live, is your brother and sister. No different than anybody else in this sanctuary. Then,
thank you, Lord.
We must have joy.
Yes.
Does your everyday persona show forth joy of the Lord? Let me put it like this to you, it should. And it's not me, this is Jesus, Paul writing this, but it all comes from God. Because the joy of the Lord, amen, is our strength. So if you get weak sometime, ask yourself, do I have joy?
Amen.
Huh? Do I have the joy of the Lord? Do I know within my heart that God loves me and God is going to keep me? I don't care what comes my way.
Yes.
I don't care if it's cancer or any kind of disease. There is nothing too hard for God.
Yes.
Nothing too hard for Him. So that alone should be enough to give you joy. Because, church, let me tell you something. You know, if you are in good health right now, cancer could hit you tomorrow. But let me tell you something. What God is telling us, we ought to have joy while we got that cancer. Because one more time,
yes,
there is nothing too hard for my God.
Yes.
Thank God I found that out. And then, there's peace. You know, we're going to have troubled times.
Yes.
We're going to have persecution, problems, pain. We're going to have troubles and trials. We're going to have sadness, sickness, and sorrow. We're going to have all of these things. But don't you know that you can still be at peace?
Yes, yes.
You see, you think now. What did I give you first? The Holy Spirit, come on, living within. Because see, if you rely on Him, He will be. Give you that.
Yes.
He will build it up into your physical body,
yes,
out of your spiritual body,
yes,
into your physical,
yes,
body.
Yes. Yes.
I'm pretty sure. Lord Jesus.
I have experienced it. Peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yes.
You know, my 24-year-old daughter passed away at the age of 24. At that age. And after the funeral, I guess I was a pastor during the time. After the funeral, which is down home in Alabama, I was just suffering. I was hurt. And I walked out across the yard from my home down there. And I was looking up toward the sky and I said, Lord, why? Why, Lord? God spoke to me. Yes, he speaks to me. And he said, don't worry. You will see her again. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
You talk about making it all right. That made it all right, church. Now, I admit, every now and then I would think about it and a tear coming to my eyes, but yet I still had joy.
Yeah.
Yet I still had peace. Because I knew by the word of God that I would see her again.
Yes.
Amen. See, this life is not the end of it, church. This life is not all. Now, we get to long suffering. Boy, we need that. Long suffering is patience. How many of us get impatient sometimes? Come on now, be honest. Amen. We do. We get impatient sometimes. But let me tell you something. The Lord is teaching me patience. Because I asked him. Because I want him to take everything away from me that is not of him. And there is kindness. I've met people, church, that didn't even know Christ, hadn't even thought about Christ, but they were the kindest people you could ever want to meet.
Amen.
Even more so than some of us in the church.
Amen. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
But see, the kindness that Paul is writing about here is not that kindness like those people have. See, even the world can be kind. But Paul is writing about that kindness that comes from that hallelujah, that seed
yes.
of God
yes.
that is within us.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.
Yes.
Mm. Goodness relates to kindness, faith, and we know, as Sister read, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Huh?
Amen.
All of us know that, don't we? Well, you know what? Faith substance, the word substance, is what you stand on. Huh? Now see, if this floor is not here, this floor is substance because I'm able to stand on it, I'm able to walk on it. But if it were not here, I could not walk on it. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, faith is the reality of things that you've been praying and asking God to give you. It's the reality of it. It's the substance of it. But faith is what you must stand on while you are asking God. You can't go to God without faith. Huh? And I love to teach people that when you're praying and you're asking God for something, you got to be asking with expectation.
Yes. Yes.
You can't be like, well, I might get it. I hope I get it. You know, things like that. No, you expect God to give it to you because God said he would do it.
Yes.
But you must have the faith that's going to move God to move by his spirit
yes.
into your life.
Yes.
Hmm. Hmm. And gentleness. You know, that reminds me of a commercial that I saw on TV. This lady was in stage of delivery in the hospital. And she was delivering a baby. When the baby was delivered, the nurse took the baby and handed it to the lady. And laid it on the mother's breasts. And the lady was holding the baby so gently, because that baby cannot be tumble about or be in a turmoil, no. But then that sweet little child opened his eyes, looking at his mommy. That was the most beautiful sight I have ever seen. I don't know if any of you have seen it, Mercy, but you got to see it. That's the most beautiful sight. That baby lying there, looking at his mommy. And you know, also in gentleness, here's another one that came to me. You know, was Matthew and Florence, were they gentle? The storms down east, were they gentle? No. But that's why we don't want storms in our lives, but what we want is a gentle breeze. Yes. Because see, a storm tears things up. Mm-hmm. A gentle breeze brings refreshing air. As hot as it is in Alabama, you'll be glad to feel a gentle breeze coming. Because it cools you off, it cools you down. It keeps you comfortable. And that's what a gentle spirit will do in you. It'll keep you comfortable in this world. All sorts of things may be going on around you. But by the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost working in you, you will show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Now, there's one more. Self-control or temperance. You notice how closely all of these are related? And we know what self-control is, because if you don't have patience, you will lose your self-control. But, see, the Holy Ghost gives us all of these. The Holy Ghost gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and temperance. The Holy Ghost gives us all of those. So when we relent to his love and care, when we relent to his guide and his keeping,
yes,
all of those will exist in us, church. So if you are preparing to go with Jesus, you got to be working on your life bearing the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
You got to be daily, keep me, Holy Ghost, because that's his job. And as we said from the beginning, we're all in a stage of sanctification wherein we are growing, should be growing further and further and higher in God.
Yes.
And that's the job of the Holy Spirit, to keep us on, hallelujah, on that path. Steady marching higher and higher in Jesus. And we'll find these things that our lives may have been lacking.
Yes.
We'll find them showing themselves, revealing themselves, making themselves known.
Yes.
The evidence of things unseen.
My God.
God bless you.
My God.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Good word.